Fluid Valley County Work Session to order at this time. We will do the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Will remain standing for a moment of silence. Thank you.
Next, we'll have our planning director's comments.
Mr. Chairman, I don't have any direct comments at this time.
Next item of agenda is public comments, limited to 3 minutes per speaker. Anyone wishing to come forward at this time, please come forward, state your name and address. Seeing no one coming forward, we'll move on to our work section, talking about our sign ordinance tonight.
Mr. Chairman, as you may recall, we had some discussions in the past several months on potential updates for sign ordinance. Mr. Newman is going to present comparisons of some neighboring localities, particularly in regards to business signs, temporary signs.
I got some information from our 2016 business forum, and through the slides, some feedback. And overall, what we heard from that forum is that our temporary sign, our business signs, are not allowed to be a large enough size that the business community feels would be helpful to them. Some of the biggest challenges include signage restrictions in the county, and that's seconded by the first comment here. There were offers that we should probably increase sort of tiered development so that our areas such as Design Crossroads, community planning area, should have different sign regulations from our regular I-1, B-1, or I-2 and B-2 development. Mr. Smith, our economic developer, can speak to you more at our next meeting if he's available. The definition of temporary signs for all of our counties, and it's pretty much the same. It's usually for like a seasonal, for a brief activity. You should for a period of up to no more than 60 days. That's what Savannah has for our timeline. How long is a different timeline, but again, it's just for temporary, non-permanent structures for signs. Savannah County, Route equal Albemarle when it comes to this overall sign area. Louisa County allows larger signs in A1 zoning, and Savannah County compared to Louisa and Albemarle does not allow for very tall signs. Our maximum sign by including the base is 6 feet for business signs in A1, whereas compared to Louisa and Albemarle, they allow their signs to be up to 8 and 12 feet, as well as being 32 square feet in area for Louisa and 24 square feet for Albemarle. This is just a list of a commercial style zoning and the number of signs allowed per area, per parcel, sign area, sign height. So this for the commission to look over and discuss. Included within this presentation is an Excel sheet as well that has a link to various ordinances, and I can send that to the commission after tonight's meeting if you wish. And that would be just a handy guide for you to be able to click on. You can go straight to the sign ordinance section of Savannah. Louisa, we just find out the wrong, I believe, did what he as well.
Is that the same thing that you passed out?
Previously, yeah. And as I said, Mr. Smith, we hope to be able to talk to the commission about what he learned at that 2016 economic development meeting. I believe signage and sign restrictions were one of the biggest challenges that the business community thinks that they have in Savannah County, and that were overly restrictive.
Does anyone recall the discussion, previous discussion around why the 6 feet height restriction was put in place here?
No, I don't. That was, I was kind of, when you said that, I just couldn't remember that at all. Are we recommending we go to 8 foot? Is that what we're doing there? The second thing, say, you got like 24 square feet, and then right underneath of it, you got 28. And then you got 6 foot, 8 foot.
Those are for freestanding and for monument signs. So a freestanding sign in a commercial zoning area from Savannah, it can be up to 24 square feet in area. If it's a monument style, it can be 28 square feet. A freestanding sign can be 6 feet off the ground, whereas a monument can be 8 feet off the ground. But that's still much smaller than what's allowed by the Louisa or Alamo.
You got Louisa, then you got 20 feet, and then who is 30 feet more down?
Louisa is located in the shopping center.
Is that Fort Blue down?
That's from Louisa County. If there's a business located in the shopping center or a commercial industrial park.
Okay. Any of y'all have any thought about those heights? And I think probably we should go up in height, but anybody got any ideas? Should we try to be the same as the Louisa or?
Mr. Chairman, let me make a couple observations on this, because I have literally been dealing with sign regulations since I was in Boston, and nobody ever seems to have the answer. It's always, I'm going to use the word subjective, and I guess that's probably the best word you can have, but the problem with all of this is that signs seem to be, in my experience, uniquely subject to, if you will, psychological competition. So if you got business A and I've got business B, and I put up a sign that's 20 square feet, and you got a sign that's 10 square feet, you just can't rest until you get 22 square feet. And I've seen so many times where it was almost like, I've just got to have a bigger one. I don't really know why I need a bigger one. Can't cite any reason I need a bigger one, but I got to have a bigger one. And what I've always said is signs serve two purposes. They advertise whatever it is that you're showing on it, whether it's commercial or subdivision or industry or residence or whatever it is. That's the first thing. And so it's in the interest of whoever owns the sign and whoever wants to get to the sign to be able to see it. Right. The other purpose is to protect against traffic accidents. Because one of the problems you have is that if the sign's too small, somebody's driving down Route 15 and you got a sign that's this big, you can't read that unless you're going about 10 miles an hour. So you become a traffic hazard looking at that sign. So it's really a balancing act of making it big enough to serve its purpose, but limited so it doesn't overpower the landscape and the buildings and things like that. One thing that jumps off the page to me is Louisa and Alamo both have something that we don't have. That is, they have large-scale major commercial uses. I mean, obviously, Walmart, or Lowe's, things like that. We don't have that. So, my suggestion would be that you may need to do some study on this to determine what signs are really useful in terms of advertising in each given situation. So that if the chairman's parcel A and my parcel B, if I put up my parcel B, put up a sign for my parcel B and it's big, people can see me, but they can't see him because my sign blocks his sign. So it, I think it would be a mistake simply to say, well, our neighboring county does something, we ought to do that too. I've had a discussion with people where they were talking about the sign in my office, which is on Court Square in Charlottesville. If you're going to my office, you're looking, you know pretty much where it is, and you're looking for it, and there's a very good likelihood that you're walking when you do it, just because of the environment. So we have a sign that's 18 inches long and like 8 inches wide. It's probably less than half that sheet of paper. And it's really perfectly adequate because of the circumstances. You're not driving by it at 40 miles an hour. On the other hand, if you're on 250 design crossroads, for example, you're driving 45 miles an hour, you don't have good street lighting, you probably do need a bigger sign. And it's in the county's interest to give you a bigger sign, not only because it encourages business, but because it protects against traffic hazards. So I think that my recommendation would be, when you're thinking about these signs, and particularly in terms of size and height, things like that, that you consider from a standpoint of those two factors and what actually is necessary or helpful to make things work. Now the other thing is that, and I have looked at these issues, but if you recall, we recently redid the sign ordinance and zoning ordinance with an eye toward, believe it or not, federal Supreme Court. Because the federal Supreme Court came down with a ruling about a year ago that really changed, on its face, it changed the law. Now, whether it actually did or not, I'm not entirely sure. We'll have to see subsequent cases. But what it did really is it introduced a new element of federal constitutional scrutiny. And if you look at our ordinance, the way it's changed, you'll see that a number of things have changed. So we don't talk about business signs as opposed to other kinds of signs and that kind of thing, because the federal Supreme Court says you can't do that. You can't distinguish on the basis of content. And I haven't gone back and looked at Albemarle and Louise's to see whether they did the same thing we did. But that's one thing that whatever you decide is going to have to conform to that principle. So just don't be surprised if you decide something that looks perfectly reasonable. I tell you, you can't do it. Because in my idea, it's Justice Thomas's. By the way, Justice Kagan said, and I'm not a big Justice Kagan fan, but she was short of dissent, and she said, what we have done today is invalidate every zoning ordinance in the United States. And she's probably almost right.
I was thinking just now when we were talking about these monument signs, and I've read some stuff about those monument signs, and you get like a business park where you have maybe 7-8 different businesses. And with us having like an 8-foot thing, the main businesses usually get these signs where you can really, but the people down at the bottom start getting littler and littler. And I just wonder if, like Mr. Payne was talking about driving by a place and you don't have enough space to put the letters tall enough to, with us using 8-foot, which is, I don't know whether anybody else has any thoughts about that.
I had that experience one time. I was at Hilton Head, South Carolina, and my son-in-law was very good. We were out looking for food so he could cook dinner. And we were driving down the road, and Hilton Head's very, as you know, is very strict, heavily restricted. You don't see the big Walmart signs in Hilton Head.
Or the big Cracker Barrel sign.
Or any others.
I've had that experience right there, that's why.
And, well, we were looking for a grocery store. And we knew there was a grocery store, we knew there was a shopping center in a certain place, and we knew there was a grocery store in it. And I was driving, and I knew it was over here on my right somewhere, but I couldn't find the entrance. And finally, just as we were driving by it, I saw the entrance. There was a sign that said, you know, so-and-so shopping center. It was about that big. And driving by, you know, paying attention to the road at even low speed, because I think it was 25, 30 miles an hour, you couldn't read it until you were right up on top of it. And that's one of the things, I mean, I'm talking about when I say traffic hazard, because, you know, everybody else is going along 30, 35 miles an hour or whatever, and all of a sudden you slam on your brakes, you're a traffic hazard. So I'm not saying you should make signs real small necessarily. And I'm not saying you should make them real big. You should make the signs should be made so that they are legible for people that are going to use them under those circumstances. And whether our numbers are right or not, I really don't know. I don't have much feel for that. But I'm just giving you a thought about that in terms of just because Louisa says 20 feet, that may be a good number. It may not be a good number, I don't know. But all these guys, these planners, do know all about spatial relations and whatnot. They tell you, maybe not tonight. But they can tell you. You see what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And, you know, people say, remember the first case I was ever involved in was a zoning case in Albemarle County. And it was for the Holiday Inn South, the one that's at the intersection, the interchange of 64 with 5th Street, 5th Street extended. And they put that Holiday Inn in, and they came in with, my firm was representing Albemarle County, and they came in and said, we have to have a variance for the sign size because the ordinance isn't big enough. And we only have one design. Holiday Inn only allows one design, you know, that sort of trapezoidal sign with Holiday Inn. And they won't allow anything else. So if you don't give us a variance for size and height and whatnot, we can't have a sign at all. Well, the Board of Zoning Appeals denied the variance. And they were talking about suing and whatnot. And I think they did sue, and I think we won. And right after we won, lo and behold, they put up a sign that conformed. So if people are funny about signs, they think signs are somehow magic when they're really not. So, and just for clarity, I don't have an objection to Holiday Inn signs. I don't care much one way or the other.
You know, what's amazing to me is we went for, I don't know, I think we've been talking about signs the whole 9 years since I've been on the Planning Commission, but we went through several years of working with the business community to come up with the ordinances we have now. And that's what we came up with, that's what we're operating from now. And now the business community is coming back and saying we're too small. So that's very much what you said. And we've got violations in the county for some of this stuff right at the moment. I don't know whether they fell into they were grandfathered in or something like that, but I see violations in some of this stuff too. Just for an example, in Fort Union at Jake's service station, that big tall sign they got with the prices on it is
that's probably long predates any.
That's why I said it's probably with grandfathered in, probably couldn't be.
By the way, that's another, just in passing, let me note, that's one thing that is required by state statute, is gas stations are required to post the prices. So
yeah.
You couldn't say, well, you got a sign that says Exxon, that's all you can have. You can't put up a sign that says 205 a gallon. I don't think we could do that because the statute requires it to post it.
Okay. Does the planning department have any thoughts about, say for instance, the monument sign, and should we be specific, more specific in certain areas about the height? And another question, when we were talking about this, how can we make sign rules specifically for Zion's Crossroads at this time when we don't know what type of businesses or how they're going to be located?
I think we could do it overlay perhaps, but like you said, we don't know what type of development is going to occur there or what type of development we want to occur there, but we don't know until we start getting cases of what's actually going to be there. But I know a lot of the more, I guess your pain said, a lot of the chains that kind of locate off near state, they have their set criteria. And this is generally more restrictive than what that criteria would be for the corporate folks to like to see. But you don't want to get too loose with the standards in one particular area, then you'll end up, like Mr. Dibb said, with one in South Carolina, where you can't tell anything.
Or south of the border.
Yeah.
So we've, I can understand a lot of things. When you have a monument sign in a shopping center, they're normally a little more neater than these temporary wooden signs or something like that. So, it's something we kind of, I'm wondering now if our heights are maybe way out of line.
I don't know if it's way out of line. 6 feet is a little lower than what I've seen come across in other ordinances outside of the media area. We have 10 feet in Dinwiddie, I think. I forget what it has in hand over, but it's a little bit more than that. Would y'all have a better county grant?
In the overlay district was 10 feet.
Well, there again, I think rather than any particular number, what serves the purpose? And a 6 foot sign is not very high, because if you're trying to allow whatever it is to be advertised to people traveling on the highway, you're sitting in a car that's 30 inches above road level. If the maximum you have is six feet, that's 42 inches above your island. And if you got a truck in front of you, that's not very high. If you got a car in front of you, or an SUV or something, it's not very high. So, but my point is, rather than taking a particular number, look at what solves the problem.
But the important part of solving the problem is, we talked about it, signs, there's this whole psychology around signs. And businesses feel like these restrictions are too tight. That's part of it, to say, you know what, I just don't want to mess with them. I don't want to deal with them because this is too much. You hear lots of complaints about it. So I think we have to take into account some of the perception.
Don't disagree with that.
And my thought about too, what I was talking about, I was just thinking about the monument signs and so forth like that. You have a monument sign and you've got four businesses in this complex, and maybe even if you got 8 foot, you're going to have your hitters and so forth like that. So maybe everybody has 1.5 feet to take it through the sign. But if it was 8, then that cuts everybody's sign in half. So how do you come to a compromise in figuring what height would be the best so that we can accommodate things as they come along. Right. Does that question I said make any sense?
Yeah, sure. What you're saying is, if you have an absolute limit of, let me just put a number on, say, 8 feet, and you have four businesses, then you have 2 feet apiece. If you got eight businesses, you got 1 foot apiece. Yeah. One way to solve that is, for that type of sign, put a more liberal maximum size with a prescribed size for the individual placards. So then you say, instead of saying 8 feet, say, let's say 12. But instead of saying, well, you got six businesses, you're making 2 feet apiece, four businesses making 3 feet apiece, have a prescribed size, say they're all 2 feet. I'm just making the numbers up, but that would address both of your concerns. One advantage, obviously, you all know this certainly as well as I do, but a shopping center or business park that has one sign, one big sign with all the different places on it, that has the advantage of, if anybody's looking for one particular place, you're looking for CVS Drugs, you go in there, and once you're in there, then you don't worry about being 45 miles an hour because you're in a parking lot. You're going 15 miles an hour and you can see Dr. Smith, the dentist, on his little placards. So it makes some sense to have a monument sign to be more liberal because it gets once you get off into the private property, then the traffic problems are less severe and the size necessary to advertise them. Once I get off the road, I know you're there. I don't know which building you're in, but I know you're there. So if I'm going 20 miles an hour, I can say, oh, there's Mr. Zimmer's establishment.
But what I noticed when I was looking at this, trying to compare the signs and so forth, like that looked like Louisa is about double what ours are. You get down to, they got a 30 foot here, and we have a 15, and then the 10 foot freestanding, they got basically 20 feet. And we got 1.5 square foot, they got 2.5. So do we need to study and look at some of the things that are in St. Louisa County or another county and look at how it looks and then sort of look at the same type of situation where it's half the size and what that's what we want to go with? I've always thought working on sign ordinance was a hard thing because of all the things we just talked about.
You're absolutely right. And Justice Thomas made it harder.
And ultimately a thankless project too, because somebody's going to be mad, nobody's going to be fully happy.
That's why we're back here.
trying to balance it between the business people and the general public as far as I'm just going to use looks, but I wanted to use a different word, of how the signs look in a certain area.
Aesthetics.
Yes.
Aesthetics is a legitimate consideration.
I think it is something to consider how something looks important, even as the designers
do. Downtown Iowa.
Yeah, when you have a combination of businesses and residential, it's a little bit different than you would when you basically have a big business park.
Well, one thing that I always thought would be a reasonable way to approach it is in terms of the steelers. So if you've got a business on major highway with 45 or 55 speed limit, you legitimately need a bigger sign than if you're driving down Main Street to Paul Meyer. And in terms of the difference between Paul Meyer or 14 on one hand and Zion Crossroads on the other hand, that would be one factor that I want to consider.
But it's just like you were talking earlier, I live on the outskirts of Hilton Head at a motel there, and I was trying to find a place to eat. They said, well, the Cracker Barrel right down the road here, and so I'm going along because normally you're looking for this big sign. There never was no big sign, it was just signs there at the place. And only because of their ordinances, they're local. So some places, aesthetics mean more than the sizes. Some places, the sizes and some people make.
I know in Hilton Head, I'm talking with some planners down there, they want to minimize lighting due to bugs too. It's small. So that's another reason that they have low lighting and small signage.
You know what they say in South Carolina, quality entertainment is a six pack of bugs out.
What opinion does the planning department have on our heights and square footage compared to, say, Louisa? Because the people in this county seem to think Louisa is our biggest competition for business.
My personal opinion, just looking at Louisa, it seems a little bit cluttered. Not out of control, but a little bit more cluttered. So I don't know if there's a...
Maybe we need to kind of our happy medium.
Our ordinance seems a little bit more restrictive in some ways than maybe it needs to be. But I don't know if I necessarily would want to see the Louisa out of clutter.
Is it clutter because they have so many more businesses? Or is it just clutter because of the size of the signs?
I would say that the size is a standard.
Look at, I'm envisioning in my mind as we're talking about this, when you're coming through the town of Louisa and going through the mineral, you're actually in the town of Louisa. They have very liberal sign ordinances there. They're big and there's a lot of them. And at some point, those tend to become self-defeating because, you know, you're looking for the grocery store or the restaurant or wherever it is, and there's so many of them that you can't see the one you're looking for because of the 12 that are in front of. And I think that's more like what Jason's talking about in front.
Yeah, does the town of Louisa have different sign ordinance than the county?
I'm sure they do. I'm by contrast, I was in, we spent a weekend in Arlington County in the, right on the edge of the city of Alexandria a couple weeks ago. And it's, you know, we're talking about fairly serious high rises.
Mm-hmm.
It's not New York, but it's definitely an urban environment. Signs are almost insignificant there.
They are.
So, because you can't take your eyes off the road
long enough. Not long enough.
Side. You better have your wife looking for it because you can't do it. So, that's not so much speed as business. But you're looking for that street number. The street number's got 4205, and that's what you're looking for. That's what you see.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll see the name of the hotel or the restaurant or whatever it is.
It's just like when you go into, say, Nags, You got all these businesses basically on the left side, where you get the children's centers on the right side, but you got them. And you're looking for that sign, but also at the same time, you've got to get over into that turn lane to be able to turn into the street to get to the thing. And sometimes those signs are kind of hard to find because of the traffic and the fact that you're doing two things at one time. You're trying to look at the sign, but you're also trying to find out where the turn lane is or the street that you have to turn in to get into the natural business. Because the entrance is not off the actual road, the entrance is usually off of a side street. So, well, I don't think we have that problem, but, you know,
good.
We never know what we might have. Now, my suggestion, I don't know whether the rest of y'all agree, is that I suggest the planning department take a look at some of these signs and look at the same size signs we have, the sizes, whether the Clutter Park in Louisa or Albemarle or any of these things, and where do we need to change ours minutely, or do we need to somewhere in the middle, or do we need to come up to where they are? And maybe y'all can come back with some suggestions, because of the fact that a lot of these things, you're probably going to have to run past Mr. Payne because of these new federal ordinances. And if we say something, then y'all say something, and then we don't know what his opinion is. It's kind of hard to make the decisions. Y'all have any comment about what I'm saying?
No, I agree with him, man. I think Mr. Payne's point that, you know, Zion's Crossroads probably should have those set guidelines. The village of Palmyra, much more restrictive set of guidelines. It may be 14 minutes, maybe in the middle, because major thoroughfare, things like that. So I think there's room for different things, but certainly at Zion's Crossroads, I think we need to consider what they're doing in the village. Because with our part of Zion's Crossroads, I feel like we're competing with Louisa to attract businesses, at least there. Maybe we're not competing with them at Fort Union. Certainly there we are. And we've got to be competitive in that every way we can.
So you
probably need to come up to the Louisa guideline, or at least something that is close to it, or the for the Zion's Crossroads area.
Maybe for the planning area.
For that particular
planning area. But like you were just saying about Palmyra on 53, you got a few businesses on that. But then you get actually in the village of Palmyra, which basically is where we are right now. It's a whole lot different of what you size signs you would need as compared to.
Right, because you can't drive more than 15 sometimes. Just all the cars and everything, so it makes sense.
If you're doing 15, it's pretty good.
Exactly. The risk of running somebody over, so the speed is very different. And you're not going to necessarily wander in here looking for a restaurant. So I think we need to have different guidelines for different places, but certainly as Zion's Crossroads, we really need to look hard at changing
it. I think it's just pretty consistent, except around Zion's Crossroads, because you don't want one part of the county feel like they are being treated one way or another, pushing the county to treat another. And I can hear what they would be telling me right now. Well, I've been paying my taxes and so forth, and so I don't think anybody would take exception with Zion's Crossroads, but I think the other part of the county, as much as you can, be consistent throughout the county.
I agree with Johnson about that.
Well, Mr. Stewart, maybe using an overlay or something like that might be a good idea.
We can take a little more depth of the visa, come back with some mock options.
Yeah, you might also think about some of the other counties that are a little less, let's say, aggressive in terms of economic development than Louisa is, like Goshen, mm-hmm. or even Cumberland, or one of those. to see what their thinking is. Because, Goochland's got 250 as well, and they've got 64 as well. So how do they address this problem? We know how Louisa does it, how does Goochland do it? And then maybe how does Cumberland do it? Because they have, 460. So 60 would answer to 250, and it pretty much does, in my experience. So that might be a useful exercise.
And I can also pick the brains of my counterparts of zoning committee on PDC, see what's working in their accounts, what they think is working.
So how would the overlay, how would that work if we were to decide to do an overlay? Would that just be specifically for signage? Or would we look to try to add some other things to maybe make that area a little bit more attractive?
Do you want? Now, if you did that, I think you ought to have very specific bases for, let's say in Zion Crossroads overlay zone. For signs, and I'm making this up now, let's say instead of 6 or 8 feet for a maximum height, you got, let's say 12, or then maximum sign or size of 40 square feet instead of 24. I think it would be helpful to have the record show what was the reasoning behind making that distinction. And I think it's pretty easy to do that in this case because I think you justify it on the speed limit alone. That along with traffic congestion, because obviously 250 is a major barrier, 15 is a slightly less crowded but still a major barrier, as opposed to 15 at Palmyra. So much less traffic congestion and much lower speeds.
I can't remember the thing, but I remember back some years ago we talked about the sign ordinance, and I think with Better Living, they had a sign, but they also had this arrow. Do you remember our discussion about that? The arrow was considered part of a different sign or something that kind of got complicated.
Yeah, that's all the definitional things that we had in sign ordinance. So we had, the neon cowboy pointing the way towards your Las Vegas style hotel, the county's Ken Gallon had as well as his Spurs, just in the hotel. I shouldn't have said that, so we'll come in.
We're going to
do at Fort Union.
You can pull that off, you're good business. So let's go for it.
Never know. There are debates out there. County manager of Swamp Town restoring murals on these old brick buildings from the 30s to 40s, whether that counts as a sign or
it's probably a bridge we can cross when we come to. I would say
that got to be a pretty heated debate in some places.
Yeah, they actually have a few of those left in downtown Charlottesville, where you got a building and there's, I remember one, I think you can only see it after it's rained. It was a thing.
Wow.
But
King?
No, well, King's is one. The one I was thinking is a Coca-Cola. And it's probably, I don't know, 20 feet long and 4 feet high. It's the whole side of the building, basically. And, that used to be, I guess the suburb there still is.
Almost all of your side streets back in the day had the names of different places on them. Painted right on the side of the brick. Because we had billboards right down there at the end of the Belmont Bridge, too. I just think that I would like y'all to take a look to examine some of these other counties and some of the of what y'all see, whether some of the things that other counties have end up in clutter, and we may may need to increase some of ours, but we need to be moderate with what we do.
We'll come back with some more information and some potential options.
I've got all of these from Dinwiddie and Albemarle and Fluvanna and Louisa that you gave us in the past, and looking at them sometimes, and stuff. I'm looking at 40,000 different numbers that it's all running around my head, because you're really not seeing it. All you're doing is reading numbers.
The bottom line is each of those localities have to, at some point, decide what's best for them.
They do the same thing you're doing. And when they say, oh, 10 feet is our number, they have the same debate you're talking about. Should it be 8, should it be 12? Well, let's compromise on 10. So none of these things is magic.
6 feet was a compromise. What was the low number? The compromise on no sign? I mean, that's pretty tough. So.
Well, you know, what, I remember one case when I was on the Board of Zoning Appeals in the city of Charlestown. It was a church that had bought a piece of property that was off the main road. And I'm sure if being off the main road had a significant impact on the church's price. And they put up a sign on the hill in front of the church facing the main road. And I don't remember what the number was, but it was a pretty small sign. But you could see it from the road. And they came in and said, we need a much bigger sign to advertise our church. And I was just thinking, you know, this is not like you're going to a sale at Walmart. You know, you're going to the church. You're looking for the church. And the sign's up there. It's a lot easier to see if you're looking. So I wasn't real sympathetic to their variance request. Again, that's Mr. Zimmer said it's psychological. If they thought they needed a bigger sign because they weren't getting enough people for their revival. They didn't think maybe it was because people didn't like the preacher.
Do we need to have any further discussion tonight on the sign ordinance? Do you have anything else we're going to go over in the work session, or
not in the work session?
Should we probably have adjourn the work session, give us a short break before we start our regular meeting? If we finish our discussion, the work session is ending at 6:50. If there's no objection.
I was going to actually ask you that.
So you can tell them I can't get on ShareFile. I can't get anything from ShareFile. I'm on there. And then I haven't been able, every time I try to download the stuff you send me, it just cycles through and it crashes, says there was a problem, and it starts cycling through again. So there's no sense in hanging on to it because it's pretty useless to me. And I couldn't even get it off the website. I tried that.
Do you have a password or anything that he'll need?
I've never used one. And I don't do much with it. I have my own tablet, my own laptop, my own smartphone. So I just use this for here. So
okay. Yeah. Do you have anything else going on that you'll need this?
Not at all.
Okay. No. I should have your number, but let me get it just in case. I'm ready.
757-653-7511.
Okay.
All right, I appreciate it.
No problem. I don't mind at all.
What's up, Trish? How are you?
Thank you. copy I ran over the last time.
You want to hang it in my chair?
I'm fine. That's what I backed up for. You been doing that? I turned it.
It's now 7 o'clock. We call the regular meeting of the Sylvania County Planning Commission to order at this time. Our first order of business is the Pledge of Allegiance, and following the Pledge of Allegiance, we will have a moment of silence. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Next item of business is, will be a first of two public comment sections. First, anyone come forward will be allowed 3 minutes. If you want any public comment about any item other than the items that are on the agenda tonight, please come forward, state your name and address. Seeing no one coming forward, we will end our public comment section at this time. And now we will talk about the minutes of our last meeting. Does anybody have any comments about the minutes? Mr. Johnson has already mentioned one thing that they made a mistake on the minutes from September 28th. They had Mr. Johnson listed as vice chairman, and that needs to be corrected because Mr. Zimmer is vice chairman. Anybody have any comments about any of the other minutes? Do I have a motion about the minutes?
I make the motion that they approve.
Okay. Which minutes are you talking about? We've got the September 28th because we didn't have those last time, and then we also had the October 26th. Now, the September 28th one is the one that we're going to have to make an amendment to.
I was speaking of the one of October.
Okay. I have a motion to approve the minutes of October 26th. Anybody have any comments? Okay, so we need to correct both of those, but as far as the actual minutes, so we need to make a motion to approve it, except for the fact that we need a change of the fact that we need to take out Mr. Johnson as vice chairman. Maybe we need to ask Mr. Payne how we need to do this motion to.
I think it's clear. The secretary understands what change needs to be made. I think the record shows that. And if you move to approve it, subject to the correction that's been noted, that would be fine.
Okay. Let's offer my motion then to approve the September on October minutes as written, with the exception of the change in the chairman and the vice chairman position.
Okay. I have a motion by Mr. Johnson. Do I have a second? And this is on the October minutes.
I'll second that.
Okay. I have a motion by Mr. Johnson, a second by Mr. Gaines. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Chair votes aye. 3-1 abstain because he was not here. Okay, what about the September minutes? Do I have a motion about those? Also, with the change?
Not really approve those.
Okay, we have a motion by Mr. Zimmer to approve the minutes from September the 28th. Do I have a second?
Second.
Mr. Johnson, second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. 4-0 and 1 absent. Okay, let's see if that's that came second. Okay, we have our public hearing for the night. SUP 1611, Garden Keepers of Virginia.
Thank you. This is a request for a special use permit to authorize a landscaping material supply use with respect to 4 acres of tax map 10A33. Landscape material supply is a business used primarily for the bulk storage and sale of landscaping supplies such as soil, gravel, potting mix, mulch, sand, stone, and the like. Or wholesale or retail, necessitating the frequent use of heavy equipment, plants and supplemental items used in planting and landscaping, such as plant containers, yard ornaments, hand tools, and the like, may be sold on site as secondary or incidental items. Pops is located in a rural residential planning area in a low-density residential neighborhood with nearby industrial and commercial uses, specifically the Central Virginia Electric Cooperative and Marty's Race Cars. This business is attempting to comply with the ordinance through the SUP process. They do exist, currently operating without a special use permit. They came to the department to get to compliance. That's why they're here tonight. Currently have 4 full-time employees, 3 part-time positions. It's located on James Madison Highway, Union Mills Road. It's right here. So you're down the hill and back up. Park is here, Union Mills Road, CVEC. And just lived in the residential here. There's a house here, another house here. Otherwise than that, there's a business, and I'm just a business down here. This is the sketch plan submitted by the applicant. They currently have an existing house right here, which they wish to tear down and replace with an office building. They're going to use parking by their entrance lot here. They will use screening shrubs to screen the landscape supplies from the James Madison Highway, and trees and bulk storage will be located to the sides and to the rear of the property. This is just the layout for the parking. This is James Madison Highway, and they have parking here for employees. Or parking here as well. This is a view of the site. This is the front of the house. This is where they have some storage currently. This is parking and materials. Parking here, as I showed on the plan, some material storage. If you're facing the house, there's off to the left-hand side, there's storage sheds and equipment sheds, which they do have shown on their sketch plan. And this is the rear of the property. Right now it's mainly open. There's scattered trees. Overall, this is a request authorizing landscape material supply use. Appears to meet all county code requirements. Site development plan will be required. Retail hours of operation will be 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Sunday. And staffing hours of operation may differ. The applicant thought that they might have to have staff on site earlier or after the close of business. They received 59 or 60 letters of support. The only potential adverse impact the planning department would see would be an increase in traffic, but again, this is on James Madison. Staff and the applicant are available to answer any questions you may have. Otherwise, I have a motion.
Any questions? This is basically, a lot of this is already in use.
It already exists. They're just attempting to come into compliance once they learned that they needed a permit.
Well, we had 50-some people, letters, mostly surrounding neighbors.
Yes, sir. Sorry.
Anyone have any questions, Mr. Newman?
Was anybody opposed to it?
No, sir. I haven't received any phone calls, emails, letters.
Nobody at the TRC.
Nobody at the TRC was opposed to it. The fire chief had concerns about the storage of mulch, and the applicant's going to use something called yard blocks, and these will help block or prevent fires, and we found that they had a fire security plan in place so that there's a 25-foot radius around all the mulch areas would be kept clear. That's the only safety concern of the fire chief.
At 25 feet, no way something that's required for doing mulch. Okay, thank you. Anybody have any questions for the applicant? Or would the applicant like to come forward and speak at this time?
I would wish you to approve it because I'd like to.
Are you the applicant?
Yes, I am.
Okay, you need to come up here to talk about it. Public hearing at this time. Anyone wishing to come forward for the public to speak?
speak about this matter, please come forward to the microphone, state your name and address. Seeing no one coming forward, we'll turn this over to a discussion by the Planning Commission. Anybody have any concerns or questions for anyone?
Nope, just look forward to bringing them into compliance and have them grow their business.
Yeah, all the concerns have been adequately addressed. Any I might have. So.
Yeah, I'm looking at the thing for a minute. All of the things that basically met. If there's no more discussion, do I have a motion?
I move that the Planning Commission recommend approval of SUP 1611, request for a special use permit to authorize landscaping material supply use with respect to 4.0 acres of tax map 10, section 8, parcel 33, subject to the 8 conditions listed in the staff report. Okay.
I have a motion by Mr. Silver. Do I have a second?
I'll put in the second.
I have a second by Mr. Gaines. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye, 4-0 and 1 absent. Thank you. Don't have any presentation tonight, but the next item is a site development plan, SDP 1603 for Union Military Academy.
Thank you. Good evening. For the Fork Union Military Academy, and this is a request for sketch plan approval for parking lot, road, and sidewalk improvements. Again, 56.4 acres of tax map 51, section A, parcels 121 and 117. It's for site history. Site development plan for dormitory back in 2009 had been approved by the Plan Commission. It's a view of the site overall. It's the Fork Union Military Academy. Or zoning from B1, surrounded by A1 and R1 residential zoning. What they propose to do is to add traffic circle here, like Fraley Circle, improve parking, improve sidewalk connections, as well as a concrete pavement down here. More sidewalks on the eastern side, as well as a road connected to Academy Road. So they have more improved, better access, as well as more parking. And this is that improved road that we went to Academy. So overall, traffic circle, two new parking lots, and sidewalk improvements. And the surveyor and the designer and the applicant have been in discussion for several months. The site had been pushed back a little while, and this is their approved plan that they have. 71 new parking spots, new access from Academy Road, as well as better and improved internal road access. The sketch plan appears to meet the requirements of the zoning ordinance. Final site plan must be submitted, and staff recommends approval of the site development plan subject to the conditions. The applicant is here, and staff and the applicant can answer any questions you may have.
And that traffic circle, I remember back when we were talking about that, that did meet the requirements that for the radius that the fire department talked about.
Yes, sir. VDOT and the fire chief have been discussing this at two separate TRC meetings, and it meets all the requirements.
Was there something about the sidewalk meeting the fact that the wheels of the vehicles had to get on the sidewalk that met the weight requirements or something like that? It's been a while, so I'm trying to remember.
It had to do with the area around Jacobson Hall. It was the dormitory that they needed to have that wire. If that's all right for me to jump in there, save you some time.
That's fine.
And the key thing is here.
The fire chief has added something.
Yeah, that's great.
Well, but it got planned.
Any more questions for Mr. Newman? Would the applicant like to come forward and speak about it?
If you don't mind, just a few words.
That would be fine. Thank you.
For your record, I'm Rear Admiral Scott Burrow, the President of the 14th Military Academy. And when I read over this, it makes it look like it's about parking and sidewalks, but it's really about safety and security of the suits. So this is about eliminating the roadway that goes right in front of our dormitory going into 14th Military Academy. So this allows it to be a pedestrian-only campus. And so the reason for the traffic circle is so that the at all. The search will be pedestrian only. The road going in front of Jacobson Hall, which is the dormitory, will be pedestrian only. So the route car access, vehicle access around those main areas. So really this whole proposal and the reason to do this is less about beautifying improvement and more about safety and security for the young men who are our students here. We certainly appreciate you all listening to it and comments and concerns, and we certainly will want to address every one of those before we start a piece of any work that we're doing.
Anybody have any questions? Okay. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Since this is a site development plan, we will not have a public hearing, so we'll go right into discussion about the Planning Commission. Does anybody have any other questions or discussion about this? We've had this come before, so this is a site plan. It's something that has previously been before us. If not, do I have a motion about this?
I'll make a motion.
May I have a motion by Mr. Johnson?
Okay. I move to approve SDP 1603 sketch plan for parking, sidewalk, and roadway improvements in addition with respect to 56.42 acres of tax map 51, section 8, parcel 121, parcel 121, and 117, subject to the three conditions listed in the staff report.
I have a motion by Mr. Johnson. Do I have a second?
Second.
Mr. Zimmer, second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye, 4-0, one absent. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Don't have any subdivisions tonight. The next item is unfinished business is GMP 1602, Rybina Heights. This is an item that we had a public hearing on that was deferred and coming back at this time.
At the recommendation of the Planning Commission, this item went back to the Technical Review Committee. The roundabout space was widened. The applicant and the survey have their deceleration and acceleration lanes. There's two-way internal vehicle movement, as well as emergency exit for fire, police, and medical. Fire chief reviewed the latest set of plans, was satisfied with what they had, and VDOT reviewed the latest set of plans, and have concluded that we can meet or exceed any criteria that VDOT has set. Just for review, this is a parcel located on South Boston Road. It's currently zoned A1, the surrounding property is all zoned R4, and this is the latest set of plans that we have. The fire chief was glad that the internal radius around the Madison Avenue, his trucks can get through here and here. Separate entrance, separate exit, deceleration lane, acceleration lane. There's also an emergency exit here, as well as a police flover point where they can monitor traffic and traffic speeds. The applicant has been very willing to listen to the Planning Commission, to the Technical Review Committee, to modify the plans. This is their third or fourth resubmittal of the site plan, and it's been found acceptable by all our reviewing agencies so far. In conclusion, they go from A1 to R3 residential plan community with 40 units, as a sketch plan. It's located within the organic community planning area. It appears to conform to the county code, and the site development plan will be required for the development phase. So this will again go through more VDOT and fire chief review. Issues to consider include an increase in traffic as well as road access to the site. The applicant is here to answer any questions you may have, as well as staff.
Does anybody have any questions for Mr. Newman at this time? Would the applicant like to come forward and speak on this matter?
Response letter to the first technical review committee meeting, our aim is to meet
Anybody have any questions from the applicant? I think you've addressed a lot of the concerns that we've had and so forth like that. I had some concerns about the traffic in that area, and I've been there quite a bit lately, and they talked about the wrecks in that area. What I discovered is probably the fact that the people that are using that road are not compliant with the speed. I was sitting there one night at the, actually further, a little bit further away from that accident at the stoplight, and a vehicle come from that direction and passed me and actually shook my vehicle. So I drove up that area, and what I'm seeing is a problem with people obeying the traffic laws in that area, especially the speed limit. And then I know one time, that although I'm not always in favor of lowering speed limits, I'm just wondering, and I've mentioned it before, the possibility that this area would probably be good at 35 to help with the problem. Although it's 45 now, people are not compliant with that, so maybe we went out to 35 to make them comply with 45. So
I'm going to probably go ahead and just jump in there and say no, they won't. They would probably just drive until either the state police or the sheriff's department gives them a reminder that they shouldn't be driving at the speed that they're doing.
Well, that's one good thing. They're going to supply a spot there for the sheriff's department and law enforcement to enforce the speed limit. Any more questions? Thank you. Okay. In our discussions, anybody need to discuss and have any concerns or that you'd like to speak to among the planning commission?
This is like the fourth time before us. I think they've done a great job in addressing all the concerns. I really could see us having too much more.
I think that they've gone to great lengths to everything that we requested, everything that seemed like they were done, everything that VDOT requested, and so forth like that. Do I have a motion?
I move that the Planning Commission recommend approval of ZMB 1602, request to rezone from A1 Agricultural General to R3 Residential Planned Community with respect to approximately 13.81 acres of Tax Map 18, Section A, Parcel 10.
Okay, I have a motion by Mr. Zimmer. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second by Mr. Johnson. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye, 4-0, one absent. Thank you.
Thank you all.
The next item is continued discussion on the CIP for year 18 and ratings. We have new sheets in front of us. Do any of you have any question, any additional questions about any of the projects with any of the department people that are represented here tonight?
No questions for that, but we're probably going to get into that and I'll sit there.
Okay. Does anybody that's here about the CIP want us to give us any additional comments? We have reviewed this before and we did ask questions, and is there anything that y'all want to tell us other than additional to what we've asked or talked about in the past?
Mr. Chairman, I have a request from our research support here.
Okay, does anybody have any questions about any of the fire officials, any of the projects with the fire official. I don't have any.
The only question I might have is, you guys have ranked everything number one priority. Is that just because you absolutely have to have everything on there, or you couldn't decide, or what?
Well, the ones that were on there, the new ones were ranked number one. The ones that were pushed back from last year, we ranked number one because they've already been pushed back a year. So that was the reason for doing it that way.
Okay, thank you.
And some of these are things that are like you're gradually getting the thermal imaging to come up to the amount that you actually need. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yes, sir.
Any other questions? Thank you.
Thanks for your attention.
Mr. Zimmer, do you have any questions for any of the other people that are here?
I'm going to make sure the electronic message board for Parks and Rec complies with the sign regulation, right?
Well, actually, I have to look at it up. I think that even the sign at the high school that we thought was not actually probably does comply.
Does it? That's good.
I read it differently a long time ago than I did this time. So. Okay, you don't have any other questions for any of the other people that are here?
I don't.
Okay. Okay, do we want to go forward into ranking? I myself have no problem with the rankings that are on the pages. I've looked at them. I've seen most of these. A lot of these are from previous years, and a lot of these we've discussed before. As you know, I have one item that I'm always talking about, the fact that the technology stuff for the school system, I think, should be in their regular budget because I think it's partially instructional. And I just think I've looked it up, and some counties do it one way, some use it in CIP, some people do it in the regular budget and so forth like that. So that's I'm all in favor of the technology stuff, but it just, in my opinion, looking at the CIP ordinance as well as because it's CIP says the ordinance is not something that both be continually one year after the next. But so just thought I'd bring that in there that I think that it should be part of their regular budget. But I'm in favor of the technology. I think I mentioned it to somebody else tonight that. I see where Albemarle is just starting a study about technology in the Albemarle County schools. As a matter of fact, they're going to have an online survey as well as a regular survey.
I think you could say the same thing about schools painting under the schools. Is that really a CIP item, or is that a MRR item?
Where are you at?
52, exactly. So, I'm not really that concerned about it, but I think it meets that same criteria you're talking about for the computer replacement.
Yeah.
This is really something that belongs in the CIP. Who decides where this goes? Do you do that? Do you do that there?
Really, as far as I'm concerned, what you decide on the school page should really be under that or also.
Should be coming under capital maintenance type of stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that also.
And that memo could be worded after the public hearing. We're discussing the public hearing. As the state as such, the same as the technology.
Because also on some other items in there, repainting of surfaces or from other places over on that.
And then the big question is, does it matter? At what point does it matter where it goes on?
I think just for our consideration, that will really make their what's the actual replacement item versus what's true capital.
Gotcha.
Should we suggest that be moved to the other part before it goes to the board supervisors? And would you think that that should be?
I would think it would be an MRI.
So we can maybe push it to an MRI.
I don't see why it should be.
Years out. It's heavy.
It's just not.
If you think it belongs in another area, you would actually have to go into this and be part of the recommendation.
My question on that is too, how do they know that they're going to need $50,000 worth of painting every year from here to eternity? How did somebody come up with that? You know, I can say, well, for this year, we do need maybe $50,000 worth of painting, but how does anybody know in the future years? In other words, it's just a placeholder, right?
I would say it would be a placeholder. I don't know if there's necessary hopes that goes into that estimate from the school standpoint.
Okay. Do we want to go right down the list of the items in the F-year 2018 and see what we say about rankings, or do most of you think the rankings are pretty adequate?
I think the rankings are pretty adequate. However, for these things like the electronic message board, that's 20,000. Are we going to be able to maybe move the amount of the CIP over to maybe next year's CIP, that the amount would be 50,000-75,000, so that these, you know, some of these smaller ones don't, we're not looking to rank something that is 20,000, maybe 20.
In other words, what we could probably do is, could we make a recommendation that we send the CIP on, that in future years the minimum, say, might be $50,000?
I think, however you all want to word a memo to the camp administrator or supervisors, that's completely perfect to include them in that with the CIP process.
Okay, that message board actually came up at a board of supervisors meeting, I think, but they asked for it to be put into the CIP about a couple weeks ago, wasn't it?
There was a funding request over there, Eric.
Yeah, the electronic message board came up as a carryover request prior to the CIP, and the board approved, the board did not approve that funding request ahead of the CIP.
And I'm not picking on the message board, it's just the number, it's just sitting on top of the
$20,000 is a small amount. I think Mr. Nichols was talking to Mr. Payne about, was it policy? Where did that $20,000 originate? We look back at our budget documents, and there's nothing necessarily that I can see that was necessarily policy that says 20,000, but 20,000 has been the standard.
I like it. It's been the standard for like the last 9 years.
It's got a rule of thumb. My memory is that it was, I think, the favorite item on it was the cost of a police car. It's obviously kind of low now.
But, times have changed and prices have gone up. And it's been my suggestion. I don't know whether the rest of them agree that, again, when we pass this on, that we recommend that it be items over $50,000. I think I said 75 last week, but then I went back and started thinking of it, and I think 50,000 is more realistic.
Well, that's 50,000. A lot closer to the police car than 20,000.
I was going to say, that's perfectly got it. And I think that's a perfectly appropriate way to handle it.
Do you agree?
No, we do. We've talked about this for years, that 20,000 was kind of a low threshold. But that's entirely up to the board of supervisors' decision if see that as being a more current picture.
I've kind of lost it somewhere along the way, but there was a thing about $18,000 for a possibility of a new administration treasurer's office building, and I can't find it right now. So I wanted to suggest, because of the repairs to a lot of these other buildings that we see now and in the future, that they conduct a study whether this is practical for, whether it would be more cost effective to build something like that and pay it off over a certain amount of years with the amount of money that we're spending in repairs. Now, I don't know whether the rest of them agree or not, but I just don't think that something of that amount is something that we could recommend knowing more about it. And, you know, I think that the Board of Supervisors are the people that are well equipped, but the fact that they control the money, that they should look into the study, which would be the most cost effective, be putting a lot of money in these repairs to some of these buildings, you know, going into the future or something like that. That would just be my suggestion on that. I don't know whether anybody else feels the same way I do or not, but that was my thoughts. I'm having trouble finding it tonight.
If you look under the public work section, this is the fourth one under the public work section. It says county combined administrative services, school admin building. So the 22.
Yeah, it's, I think it's out probably at the
22, okay.
Yeah, $11 million.
11. I was saying 18, but I think 11. Okay. So it's out at 2022.
And it's basically put out there as a, as an estimate, and more of a conversation piece. I mean, it's something that's been discussed, you know, because county does have a lot of old buildings and spread out all over. So I think the discussion is, as the commission spoke about, is, you know, at what point do we go for a building like that versus, you know, renovating a lot of old buildings and the cost that it takes to renovate.
Because I noticed that over a couple of years period, they're talking about $750,000 alone to spend on the treasury building. And I know that building is very old, and I know we talked about it some time ago, and I think they've corrected some of the stuff, some of the wiring in it were old cloth-covered wiring.
The wiring is still old. There's still a lot of old wiring in that building. Now they're making a lot of immediate, you know, like safety repairs and stuff. So I don't know.
But that would
say this, the whole building has not been rewired.
Okay. My thinking is that would be something, that particular item would be something that the Board of Supervisors need to have a study about. If, I don't think that even with it being out that far, I don't think it's something that we as the Planning Commission, not knowing enough about everything that goes into that without them studying it. So that was what I would suggest, that when we send this forward to them, that we recommend that they study this and compare what it's going to cost to repair some of these older buildings over time as compared to replacing with a new building. And also understand the possibility that court services at a time may need more space, and they could possibly use that space where the administration building is now, and possibly move the Commonwealth Attorney down here and get rid of that building and so forth. I don't know the all ins and outs, but I think it's something that it would be better that the Board of Supervisors looked into than us. Y'all disagree with what I'm saying? Okay, so we don't have any real problems with the rankings. So are we recommending that this be set on? Are we going to have a note about the technology like we've done in the past years? And are we going to put a note about the UN men building and so forth as we send it on to the board supervisors? Do y'all agree that we should?
Yes, I
do. Okay, Mr. Gaines, you were going to say something?
Yeah, I'm not sure about the adding the technology portion.
You're not sure about whether they should get it or?
Oh, no, they should definitely get it. Absolutely.
But do you disagree that, according to the comprehensive plan, the way it's set up, it doesn't really apply to rules? And I think every one of us agrees that it's something they need, but we think that, well, I personally think that it should be in their regular budget. That's just my opinion because of the nature of it. But you disagree with that?
Yeah, I disagree with that. I'm just looking at how it's being used and the importance of it should probably be a CIP item. But
because it says instructional, and that's what my concern is.
You know, we have a discussion every year.
We do. And I think I've been on one side of it, and I think I'm actually moving towards the other.
You know, there's good and bad for both. If it's in the CIP like this, then there's much greater control for the board of supervisors how that actually gets spent, as opposed to being in the big pot of millions of dollars to go to schools that are a little bit harder.
Well, I think actually it used to be $600,000, I think, and now, and the board of supervisors gave them $300,000, I think, last year. So now they've decided that they want $300,000. So.
Sometimes.
Maybe put a note that we've discussed it, and it could be either way.
Yeah, that's a good enough compromise.
I think that they need to discuss it too, and I think that it. Except for the notes that we send on, have we decided that we're going to present this to the Board of Supervisors with the ranking as is and send it on to them too? Because there'll be several months before they actually.
Just keep in mind that we have to have a public hearing.
Yeah, I know.
Next month. That's the same thing, right? To make a formal recommendation.
I was just trying to talk about the ranking. That we're going to set it on the ranking part. And of course, even at the public hearing, we can change. But as of now, maybe I should.
Because we're asking whether we're happy with this as our public hearing document, right?
Correct.
That's what we're deciding out here.
We don't need to vote on that.
I don't think so. The record shows that there's a clear consensus.
Okay, is there anyone from any of the agencies that want to say anything to us about anything on the CIP, disagree with us about anything we've said, or discuss anything that we've said? And we're kind of recommending they move that painting over to the major repair and replacement items. So hopefully when we have it for the public hearing, that item will be moved to that column. Would the county administrator have any objections to that?
The painting, I don't think so. I don't think the school would have any objections to that. It's, like I said, it's truly more of a maintenance repair and replacement item than through capital. So.
Okay, do we have any new business? Okay, the last item I have is our second of the two public comment sections. Anyone wishing to come forward about anything that in the county may come forward to the microphone, speak for 3 minutes. And anyone wishing to come forward, state your name and address. Seeing no one come forward, we will end our second public comment section. And if there's no objection from the Planning Commission or anyone, we will adjourn at this time at 7:49. We are adjourned. Okay, we'll have to give you these back and not sign them. They gave you a promotion and we took it away.
I don't know. That's a promotion.
Yeah, I can get it.